Welcome back to the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast presented by Donahue Accounting Services. For friendly expert tax advice whenever you need it, come to Donahue Accounting Services. A leading accounting firm in Cincinnati, Ohio, our top-notch accountants strive to help you resolve all your financial and tax issues. Call Donahue Accounting Services today for a free consultation at 513-528-3982 or visit online at DonahueAccountingService.com. I'm your host, Alex Meacham, former Bearcat basketball player from 1997 to 1999 under the Hall of Fame coach, Bob Huggins.
And I'm Neil Meyer with the Front Office News.
And I'm JT Smith, editor-in-chief of the Front Office News.
All right, fellas, we're back for another episode. Let's jump right into it. The Bearcats are currently 17-13 after losing to Oklahoma 71-74. JT, thoughts on the Bearcats' performance?
Man, one of those, it was one of those games, man, where at first they were doing everything right, and then they should have been up by more. I mean, they were up by double digits, dominating the game, and then they just start not taking quality shots, and then end up getting burnt, man. I'm thinking the second half, they just had too many unforced turnovers to me, and then the three-point shooting was atrocious overall. I thought they should have kept just attacking the rim a little bit more because they were fouling. They were fouling a lot. I think they just kind of let them off the hook a little bit. They shot too many threes, shooting 14 more than Oklahoma. It was just too much. I think if it would have been five more shots than Oklahoma, that would have been cool. And the crazy thing is they shot 14 more threes, and they made the same amount as Oklahoma.
Wow.
The fouls, I mean, fouling 4 3-point shooters, they made all the free throws. That was the game. If they just don't foul on those 3-point shots, it was a couple of chances where the offense was cooking. They were getting shots they wanted, but then they were fouling, giving them three. They'd go up five, give them 3 points. You know, just like they couldn't get out their own way. And it's kind of like the microcosm of the synopsis of the season. You know what I mean? They just can't get out their own way. And it burnt them.
I mean, have you ever seen anything like that, JT, where you foul that many three-point shooters? And it was like back-to-back. Like Dan Skillings was like back-to-back. It just I've not seen anything like that.
They didn't score a field goal for like 5 minutes. All the points they were scoring from the line, and the game was – and the Bearcats were hot.
Yeah.
Just think about that. Like, I mean, the Bearcats were scoring at will. And then when they finally got cold, you know what I mean? I mean, you can't give them those points. You gave them 12 points from off 3-point shots. And none of them went in. So it's like you just don't. I don't know. That don't happen. I think they win easily. They win by 8 points easily. Even if you just have one of those shots, the first one, okay. Happen sometimes, but to happen three more times after that in a game you had to win, to have March Madness hope. I mean, it's rough, man. Super rough.
Neil, your thoughts?
Yeah, as JT mentioned, obviously you're up as much as 14 in the first half, and then you see that slowly dwindle away. But the 3-point shooting, you just can't foul four times from behind the arc, and then next thing you know, they go 12 with 12 from those free throw lines. And personally, none of them were, like, excusable, but the only one that looked relatively, like, a clean, maybe it could have gone either way, was the John Newman foul. I thought he was making a play on the ball, but either way, that's the only one that really you could say was a good contest on the ball. But outside of that, the other three were, you just simply can't foul from behind the three-point line, especially when they were not scoring the ball at all. Oklahoma was without their two top scorers or two key players. They were without top scorer Javion McCollum and then John Hughley, a key rotational bench player who was averaging 9 and 8 roughly heading in this one, was unavailable. So really that was an Oklahoma team that was down in the dumps, basically. They were without two of their key players, and then you come back and you blow a double-digit lead is just something that you can't do. But overall, on a positive note, I thought Jizzle James was fantastic. 7 for 14, a team high 16 points. I mean, he had another 7-0 run, I believe, there in the second half, right around the 9-minute mark. That was crucial. And then Dan Skillings, you just have to give Dan Skillings his flowers as well. Even though we talk about the three-point fouls. Dan does ultimately foul out of this game, but coming off a knee injury where, or not a knee injury, a hip injury where Wes Miller said it was a freak incident thing. He had the MRI and it came back clean because he played. But in his first game back after suffering a hip injury, he puts up 13-9 and looking down at the stats right now, 3 assists, 9 rebounds, 3 steals. And looking down, like, you got to give him his flowers where it's due right there for that kind of performance, because the Bearcats knew they were going to need the offensive rebound or the rebounding ability to be there from Skillings with Victor Locken out nursing an ankle injury. So overall, Dan Skillings, I thought he had a first great impression after missing the prior game, the Kansas State game, to the injury. But the three-point shooting, that's simply it. And, I mean, the free throws. You look down at the free throw differential of this game, 34-11. Oklahoma goes on to shoot 28 for 32 from the line, if I remember, or 26 from 32. It was 83% roughly, whatever that math may be. That was the difference maker. Anytime a team can shoot 30-plus free throws in a game, it's going to be hard to win basketball games when you're letting opposing teams shoot that many free throws. Because in the end, if you can shoot 80% from a line at that kind of clip every night, you're going to be pretty successful.
You know, each game that goes by and I watch Dan Skillings and Jizzle, and I know Dan still makes some mistakes in the game that come from, I think, you know, the maturity thing. He's maturing with the game. He's learning. He's developed late. Obviously, he started playing, what, his sophomore year in high school, whatever it was. So that's going to be a process. But I every game that I watch Jizzle and I watch Dan, I really think about next year. And as we talk about go-to guys when you need a bucket in a game, you know, I think a Dan Skillings and a Jizzle, the combination of those two next year bode really well for us when we need a bucket versus Kansas, you know, versus Iowa State, whoever that is. I feel like those could be the guys that go get that bucket, Neil. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and Jizzle James has shown that this season. I mean, when they need a bucket, Jizzle James has shown he's able to get a bucket, and so is Dan Skillings. I mean, late down the stretch in games, Dan Skillings has been there, crucial to get an offensive rebound and get you the bucket you need. But in recent games, I mean, you wait around till the 9-10 minute mark there in the second half, and then watch who's going to be the guy who takes over. I mean, we've seen it multiple times, and it's Jizzle James. I mean, he had a 7-0 run versus Kansas State. He had a good run versus Oklahoma. He's capable of taking these teams on runs when they need it the most. And if we can, we've seen it in spurts this season, but as they continue to grow older, with whether that's Dan Skillings and Jizzle James preparing for next season, the sky's the limit for them. And if they can continue to build off of that, the future is going to be pretty bright for the both of them.
And, you know, JT, I want to bring you back in on this. We talked about this last podcast, and that was, you know, coming out versus Oklahoma, they've got to run their offense, take good shots. And I thought for the most part to start the game, I thought they were doing that. I thought they did a good job. You know, we looked confident. And I'm thinking, man, we might win this game. And there was at one point I wrote down in my notes, JT, I'm like, we're running offense. It looks good.
Yeah, for sure. They had about 12 minutes, 13 minutes in that first half where they were legit, man, all the way around the board. Defensive intensity was there, getting the shots they wanted. And it looked like there was going to be a comfortable game. You know, they were going, Oklahoma was going to make a run, but it's still like every time Oklahoma would score a couple buckets, the Bearcats would score two right back, you know what I mean, or get a stop and steal. And then, you know, for them to be almost down at the half, it was like, oh my god, like they played outplayed them for the majority of the half, and they still were only up by one the day they got that steal and layup or dunk. I can't remember if he dunked it or laid it up, but you know, as good as they played, you know, they were down, they were only up by one, then they come out at half, at halftime, push the lead back up, and you're like, okay, they're okay. They figured it out. They're back in the groove, and they start fouling, turnovers and fouls, man. Turnovers and fouls end up burning them.
Yep. All right. I totally agree with that. Yep. So listen, this was a tough one because of what we talked about. I felt like we had the game under control. You've always got to take into account, when you're playing on the road, the other team's always going to make a run. So I thought they would make a run, but I didn't think we would do some of the things we were doing that you talked about. And it was just, you know, brain farts during that game. But I left that watching that game. I left there thinking, you know, I'm not happy with some of these results. You know, I want us to win. We're so close. We're right there. It's like, if we just do this, we're going to win this game. We're right there. Yeah. But man, we've said this before, and I can't say this enough. You've said it, JT, Neil, you've said it. And that is, I still think that this program is on the right trajectory in terms of where they need to be, because I've always looked at it as, next year's the year. Year one, you learn how to play in the Big 12. You learn how to coach in the Big 12. And you learn what you need to recruit to be competitive in the Big 12. And if you look at the guys that are coming back next year, and we just talked about Jizzle and Dan being those kind of go-to guys when you need a bucket, you bring back a CMOS, and hopefully he's got an offseason getting healthy, because, you know, he started the beginning of this year with the health issue, the foot, and then getting hit by the car. And you look at Jamil getting in even better shape. I keep saying this. I think he's going to be a monster next year. Aziz. There's so much to be excited about. You look at the guys coming in, the Tyler and Tyler combination coming in. And also, you got to think about the portal. They're going to go in the portal and grab somebody, possibly a shooter. I don't know what Wes and the staff are thinking, but whoever they're going to get out of the portal has to be conducive to what they want to do to be successful in the Big 12 next year. But I'm still positive, man. There's still signs for me that, man, I can't wait for – I hate to say that this year, that I can't wait for next year, but that's personally how I feel. And I think, you know, for some of the fans that I talk to that are kind of like, you know – Not jumping off the wagon per se, but just really disappointed. I understand that you want to win, but you're the same folks that told us we were not going to win very many games in the Big 12 anyway, right? We were going to get blown out,
true.
Right? But we're right there, and we're competitive in everything. So, super bright spot there. In terms of what I consider that trajectory for the program for next year. But let's talk about Saturday's game. The Bearcats take on West Virginia at 2 p.m. in the beautiful Fifth Third Arena. You're listening to the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast presented by Donahue Accounting Services. Let's jump into the Big O segment sponsored by Smart Dog Solutions. In this segment, we cover players to watch in key matchups. JT, who should we look out for from the Bearcats? Let's see if you get this right.
All right, cool. So I'm going to go John Newman, man. Senior day, not going to be back next year. It doesn't have to be like in points. I think he's just going to have like a heck of a game where he has in from 6 to 10 points, 3 to 5 boards, few steals, and just affect the game. Last time he plays in Fifth Third Arena, I think he's just going to, you know, cherish it, you know, soak it all in. And just have a heck of a game. So that's why I'm looking forward to be the leader and, you know, get the Bearcats the last win of the regular season.
You know, JT, and Neil, not to skip by you, but I picked the same person. I picked John Newman. So yeah. We'll kind of both talk about the same thing. I think you're spot on. I think he's really going to shine because it's senior night. And you know John Newman as well as I do, and he's the type of person that – he's got this game circled. Like, this is important to him. He's going to have family here. He knows this is going to be, I think even on his Instagram story, he posted something about last game ever at Fifth Third Arena. So I think from that standpoint and just his maturity, he's the type of guy that's going to come out. I'm going to be aggressive. I'm going to show leadership. I'm going to show emotion, get the crowd hyped up. So I'm with you, JT. I think John has a big game.
Yeah,
I'll even third that before I jump into my players to watch. I think it's arguably that John Newman is the player to watch here. I mean, we've seen it in the past. We saw what a senior day, a guy like David DeJulius had last season. He spent 3 years in this program. I think John has every capability to have a similar performance as well. And I think if John Newman has a great defensive showing on Raekwon Battle, I think that's going to be the matchup to watch heading into tomorrow's contest. If John Newman can have a lockdown elite defensive showing versus Raekwon Battle, I think he solidifies his case up there in the same kind of level as category as David DeJulius. I already think he's up there in that same category, but for the fans who don't think so, I think if he has that great showing tomorrow, because what he is able to do on the defensive end really alters games. And overall, fans, they just need to really kind of sit back and enjoy this one for John and Odie as well, the two seniors. But John has been through everything over the last, year and a half with the knee injury, the decision overall. I mean, he talked about it with us three exclusively about his decision to come back. He had doubts of maybe would he ever return to being the player he was following the knee injury. So everything that he has had to endure throughout his time at Cincinnati, tomorrow should just be one of those nights where Bearcats fans, you just give it all to John Newman and Odie Aguama there at Fifth Third Arena for Senior Day. As you mentioned, Alex, he is going to have his family in town. His family was in town for the Kansas State game. So, and Coach Miller kind of emphasized, like, hey, if his parents were going to be in town more often, maybe we can get some of those kind of performances out of him again. So overall, it's going to be great for John and his family, as well as Odie's for Senior Day. But let's jump into players to watch for West Virginia.
Neil, hold on one sec before you jump into that. Sorry to interrupt you, but I do want to say, and JT, if you could add anything to this real quick, we can't forget about Odie. Senior night for him. One of the most high character guys to come through this basketball program. Always ready, always positive. Great, great, great teammate. Odie's going to be successful in whatever he does in life.
No, for sure, man. Odie had every reason to this year to be like, to be bad character if he wanted to. Went from starting to, being not playing sometimes to when he does play, being very minimal minutes. But, you always see like something good happens. He's the first one cheering, one of the first people cheering, part of the bench mob, just always high character. I just could tell how he embraces his teammates, how his teammates react to him. So that just shows, another good, good trait that Coach Miller has. People are buying in. So, it's one of those things, man. Odie has done. It's been here, what, it's been 3 years, right? Odie's been here three years, huh?
Came, yep, West's first year.
But yeah, man, he's
been
a lot of the transition, So. People got to show him some love, man. No matter how you feel about, how he plays or whatever, you just got a good young man. Hasn't smeared his name or anything, done nothing but positive. So I want to give some love to Odie.
Neil, back to you.
Yeah, I'll give my flowers to Odie as well. I mean, he's been great to have around this program, great to cover. He's been more than accommodating for us. He's trusted us. He's been great with us. Always a high energy guy, as you guys mentioned. Bench mob, Odie Aguama leads that every time. He's just overall a high character. Like, I think he won the Gene Stevens Memorial Fund scholarship as well. So give a huge congratulations to Odie on that aspect as well, because what he's doing outside of the basketball court, in the classroom, in the community, he's doing some great things there. He's got a great future ahead of him, whether that's in basketball or his next chapter in life as well. But overall, Odie's been a blast, and people really should take in consideration of what Odie Aguama has done for this team. I mean, obviously people call him the Energizer Bunny for a reason, and high energy guy, comes in, gives you great minutes. And he's one of those guys where just him being around the locker room, the facilities every day for us media members who have interacted with him on a day-to-day basis, he's just one of those guys, like, walks into a room, bing, instantly makes anybody's day better just by how he's always approaching things. He's always approaching things the right way, has a positive attitude, and that's the kind of person you need around the facilities as well.
Yep, absolutely. Well, why don't you go ahead and jump into Oklahoma?
Yeah, so players to watch for West Virginia.
I'm sorry, I said Oklahoma, my bad. West Virginia, my bad.
Yeah, West Virginia, I think it's kind of the key debate. You got to start with Jesse Edwards, the big 7-foot center. This is a guy who dominated the Bearcats in his first game back.
Cooked us. He killed us.
Man,
25-10 in his first game back, and it was limited minutes too. For people who don't remember, limited minutes. This is his first game back after missing, I think it was 12 games with a broken wrist. Comes back, puts up 25-10. that just simply is something that can't happen tomorrow. If that happens, it's going to be a long day. Because, I mean, Jesse Edwards, I don't know if you guys watched the TCU game the other night with West Virginia. You thought that 25-10 night was pretty impressive. TCU the other night, you finished with 36-14. So, got to find a way to contain him because he's playing his best ball right now. He's a mismatch problem.
Hey, Neil, where's he from?
He started at Syracuse. He transferred to West Virginia this offseason prior to everything that went down with Coach Huggins.
Where's he originally from?
That's a good question. Let me look it up real quick.
What? I thought I heard something.
He is originally from the Netherlands.
Yes. Okay. I thought he was an overseas guy. Go ahead.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Yeah, but he got to find a way to keep him off the boards. And if Victor Locken isn't able to go, as he missed the Oklahoma game with the ankle injury, if he isn't able to go, got to find a way for somebody, Aziz, Jamil, Odie, potentially as well, step in and keep him off the glass. Keep him away from the front court because he is shooting 61% from inside the two-point arc this season. He's shooting 61% from the field on the season. He's a deadly weapon for West Virginia. And then you pair him alongside Raekwon Battle. I mean, Raekwon Battle speared the NCAA antitrust laws along suit with Jamil Reynolds. Raekwon's been in his 20 games this season. He has put up double digits in nearly every game but one, if I remember right. So he's in 20 games since becoming eligible, and he's averaging 17 points per game, shooting nearly 41% from the field, but averaging 17 points. There was a spurt, guys, throughout the season where he went four games straight of scoring 25+. So can't let him get hot. Raekwon Battle was the one who hit the three-point dagger at the end of the first matchup to really kind of give West Virginia the momentum down the final stretch. But I think that's the matchup to watch right there on the day is John Newman versus Raekwon Battle. I think that's going to be a great showing. Raekwon Battle can really score the ball at an elite level. But John Newman can defend at an elite level as well. So I think personally, John Newman got banged up at the first contest near the end with the rib injury. But I think John Newman wants to come back and get some revenge after not being able to finish down the stretch there in that contest after being taken out. So John Newman, I think this is the day where he gets his get back versus West Virginia and really makes Raekwon Battle's day difficult tomorrow night at Fifth Third Arena.
All right, you know what time it is. The name game. All right, folks, it is the name game with Neil Meyer. This is where we normally take the opposing team's roster, look at the players' names, and try to have Neil say some of the tougher names on the roster. Now, what I've been doing is throwing some curveballs at Neil. Pause. To look at some other rosters. So we're not going to do West Virginia tonight, Neil. We are going to look at, you ready?
Yep.
Go to San Diego's website.
Meanwhile, before we start the name game, huge shout out for the West Virginia roster. We have been talking about him all season as being the leader of the name game. I have to give a shout out to Akaka Cock for winning the name game battle.
Well, we're gonna call pause.
pause.
Yeah. Good old pause.
All right, we're ready.
All right, you got San Diego up?
Yep.
All right. We'll start with number one.
Santiago Truett.
Pretty good. Number five, and I'm more concerned with the first name pronunciation.
Number five is Benji Pierre.
Is it Benji or Benji?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm gonna go Benji.
What do you think,
Benji
JT?
Pierre.
Okay, what do you think, JT? Benji or Benji? It's spelled Benji.
I'm going to go Benji.
You're going to go Benji?
Okay. Yeah.
We're going to have to dig deep and figure that one out. All right. Number seven. I like this name.
Dragos Lungu.
I like that. Oh, that first name's tough.
If he dies, he dies.
If he dies, he dies. Say it again.
Dragos Lungu.
I like that one. Number 10.
Neil Bennywall.
Bennywall. I like that one too. It's some good ones, man. Number 20.
Joey Shama.
You sure it's Shama?
Shama? Yeah, you got to add the two A's in there.
Yeah, it's got like seven A's at the end of his name.
Man,
it's
wild.
Number 23 is Jimmy Oladokun Jr.
Oh, shit.
Say what?
Jimmy Oladokun Jr.
Oh, shit.
Too fun. So, quick fun fact. The San Diego head coach, JT, is?
Oh, snap. Steve Lavin.
Look at the assistant coach, Tyus Edney.
Oh, man, I didn't know Tyus Edney was coaching. That's real tight.
Didn't either, man. I saw that and I was like, shout out Tyus Edney, man. One of the
I didn't know Lav was still out here. Lav out here still getting them checks, boy.
Still on the West Coast.
He out here. Lav is the man. He probably could probably go anywhere, like California down. LA down and be good, huh?
Well, you know, you look at a guy like Steve Lav, and much like, you know, a Bob Huggins, let's say they get fired or let go or leave a school, you know. Like Steve Lavin on the West Coast, he could go take a small D1 anywhere. Don't hire him. You know what I'm saying? Like, based on his past and his resume. Same with Bob Huggins. I mean, it would not surprise me if Bob Huggins was offered several low D1 jobs here in the offseason. You know what I mean?
Yeah, name hold enough weight.
For sure. Especially in that Midwest area.
Yeah, it's true. You
know, it's like, got the name. He knows the recruiting belt in that area.
Yeah.
It's a lot. The Big O segment is sponsored by Smart Dog Solutions. Hey, and by the way, we do need to make sure we have kind of the name game March Madness, I guess, right? At the end of the season? Is that what you
– Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, we might have to do that.
Apparently, Neil's excited about that. He's like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bring me the challenges.
We got it. So, I've already talked about my player to watch, John Newman, just to kind of piggyback JT. I think he's going to shine on senior day. The Big O segment is sponsored by Smart Dog Solutions. Do you have a business that needs better inventory control, production management, or improved accounting control? Outgrown QuickBooks or can't afford NetSuite? Give Loyal Bearcat grads Doug and Kathy Jacobs at Smart Dog Solutions a call. They've been in your position and would love to help you solve all your problems. They can be contacted at 513-739-9473 or online at smartdog-solutions.com. You're listening to the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast presented by Donahue Accounting Services. The Kenyon segment is sponsored by Greg Hooden at Beachmont Toyota. This is where we cover the keys to the game. JT, what do the Bearcats need to do to win?
All right. Don't foul jump shooters.
Facts.
Just don't foul jump shooters. No, don't foul jump shooters. Let's keep Edwards at like 15 and 8.
Wait. JT.
Not even.
JT,
not
hold
even
on.
15 and 8.
No, what's up? No, hold on. JT, I swear to you, on my notes for today's podcast, I had John Newman as my player to watch. And on my win, it was keeping dude at 15 under.
Man. I literally just thought of that like on the fly too. Like literally, I was like, dog, he killed this. He had like, what did he have the first game, Neil?
25 and 10.
Yeah, I remember him just killing us. I don't want him to have 10 rebounds just because I'm selfish. And then he can't have no 20 ball, like no 20 ball. Because it ain't like he ain't getting the ball in the post and getting busy. It's all activity. So it's like put a body on him. Put a body on him. We got enough big dudes. Just foul him. Go Bill Laimbeer on him. Don't let him go crazy.
He struggles to shoot from the free throw line too, so that could be an option.
But against us, people shoot, just the percentages go up sometimes. So I'm not even gonna bank on that. Cats be shooting 45% coming in the game. He hasn't missed a free throw all game. We're like, what?
It's crazy.
9 free throws. He's 8 for 9. Like, what's going on here? But he's a career 17% free throw shooter. Like, what the fuck? But so keep at 15 and 8. Like, I don't want him higher than that. And if he scores a little bit more, like, can't have no 20 piece in fifth third. And then they out rebound them. Got out rebound. We out rebound them first games. Out rebound them again. And then take care of the ball, man. Because what's been killing the Bearcats is the fouls last game. Just, oh man, it just hurts my soul. But just taking care of the ball. Because even though I think they only had like 14 turnovers against Oklahoma, they just were in bad spots. So I think they just got to take care of the ball. I want them to. Want them to have under 12. They're at home. West Virginia isn't like a defensive juggernaut. It's just that Edwards causes a lot of havoc down in the paint. So I want them to attack him. Hopefully get him in foul trouble, because if you get him in foul trouble, you ain't got to worry about him as much. I say attack the paint. But dude can't go crazy like that. Like, I'd rather – no, I don't even want to say that. I think I want John to lock up Raekwon too. So we'll say – keep him, like I said, keep him under 15 and 8, man. No higher than that. That those are his caps for tomorrow.
Neil, since JT's stealing all my thunder and my notes, he copied my notes. What did the Bearcats need to win big?
Yeah, I think win big. The first one you got to talk is the rebounding margin. I mean, yeah, they won the rebounding margin the first contest, but they're coming off a performance where they got out rebounded versus Oklahoma. So if they can get back into that category and win the rebounding margin, I think that's going to be your number one emphasis on winning this game. Obviously, West Virginia brings the size with Edwards and Zielinski, I think is how you say it, in the front court. They bring some size and some veteran leadership there. So if you can find ways to keep them off the glass, obviously, we talk about Victor Lockin. We still don't know the full status of him. But you got to find a way to out-rebound and win that battle of the glass. Turnovers, that's the number one thing. Got to keep those under 14, 15. But the biggest thing for me is I think they need to find a way to get aggressive and get to the foul line. That's the biggest thing. If you can get to the foul line and shoot 20 to 25 free throws here in this contest, that they are capable of winning by double digits. I know for the fans who bet or whatnot, I was looking earlier on some websites and stuff heading into this one when the matchup predictor came out. Cincinnati is currently 11-point favorites heading into this one. So do that with what you will. But there's still a lot of things to take care of. This is a West Virginia team who is coming off a night where they put up 90 points versus TCU. So I don't think it's going to be one of those blowout games. But for them to win big, limit your turnovers, win the rebounding battle, and get to the foul line, and you cannot let an opposing team shoot 35 free throws. Cannot.
The Kenyon segment is sponsored by Greg Hooden at Beachmont Toyota. So mine's pretty simple to what JT was saying. First of all, no player, it should be like a rule, nobody comes into Fifth Third Arena and goes off. Like, that's like, I remember when I played, I remember Hugs, you know, we played a lot of good players. I mean, Lamar Odom, Katino Mobley. D. Wade came through the building, if you remember those days. You know, a lot of great players came through Fifth Arena from opposing teams.
Chris Paul.
DP, that's right, with Wake Forest. Yep.
Wake Forest. Remember dude Eric Williams? He was cold.
Who?
Eric Williams, the big dude that was on CP3's team.
No, I don't remember him.
Man, he was cold. Check him out. I feel like they did a good job of controlling him, though. But he was good, though. He didn't never, he didn't pan out, but he was the dog.
Well, and listen, if you agree with this, JT, but I thought those teams I was on, did a really good job of keeping the opposing team's best player pretty much subdued. If somebody was to, I wouldn't say go off a little bit, it'd be somebody else. It wouldn't be, you know what I mean? Like
Travis Diener.
Yeah. But we had like this uber focus on Dwayne Wade's not going to go, whoever it was, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, coming, you know, on senior day, you've got to have that pride. No one's going to drop a 20 piece on you. Keep it 15 and under. I think it's defense by committee too. I think you've got to have everybody engaged and locked in. You can't have one guy being John Newman that's locked in defensively and everybody else is kind of halfway in, halfway out, you know, by committee. I think if everybody's locked in, I think this is a game the Bearcats definitely win. I'd like to see the other thing, too, I want to add. I'd like to see a balanced scoring attack on our end. You know, kind of the usual suspects. I'd like to see John Newman. Getting double figures. I think Seamash should continue that trend. Dan Skillings, be nice to see Jizzle being double figures as well. So, you know, getting folks on, you know, double figures and a balanced scoring attack. Your thoughts, JT?
Yeah, for sure. We should hopefully they can get four in double digits. That'd be a real plus for them.
Yep.
Because, you know, right now, I mean, you know, Seamash and Dan are kind of like the go-to guys, but they haven't like really took it by the horns yet, you know what I mean? So you know, yeah, double digits scoring by committee. If we can get five double digits, that they definitely it's got to be a dub. At five, four, it should be comfortable to do everything else right.
Cooking with by the way, I was at a place, God, where was it the other day, and I meant to take a picture. Where was I? There was a sign that says "No cooking with grease."
No cooking with grease. How they cooking it? Air frying everything?
I don't know. It was a sign, and I'm like, but something happened. I had a bunch of people with me, and I can't remember why I didn't get a picture of it. But I was gonna send it to you. But apparently, at that place, they're not cooking with grease.
You ain't cook with grease against Oklahoma.
Well, hopefully against West Virginia, we're cooking with grease.
Yeah, hope so, man. Finish the regular season out right.
No question. The Kenyon segment, Keys to the Game, was sponsored by Greg Hood and the Beachmont Toyota. Come see fellow Bearcat Greg Hood and the Beachmont Toyota for all your Toyota needs, cars, trucks, and SUVs. Greg Hood and the Beachmont Toyota is ready to help you get into your new Toyota. You're listening to the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast presented by Donahue Accounting Services. The Twyman segment is sponsored by Visionary Cleaners. This is where we cover hot topics. All right, fellas, I got one for you. Now, I know you're not prepared for this. I didn't brief you guys on this, but so I came up with this topic last night. I'm at the Pacers Timberwolves game. Okay. By the way, Anthony Edwards is the real deal, folks. Like
that block was filthy.
Yeah, man. It was.
But before that block, he had 46, something like that. He took over that game. I mean, he's smooth. He's strong. There's still a lot of things. I think he's 22 years old. Still some things he needs to learn. But I'm telling you, what I watched last night, if he keeps doing what he's doing, keeps working on his, you know, I know he's working on his body because I think there was like a point where he was kind of chubby at one point.
Yeah.
When he was in the league. His body looked proportioned. It looked like a basketball body. I know he's probably still continue to work on that. I think when we look later in his career, there'll be those discussions. Oh, he's better than LeBron. You know, he's going to be the GOAT. That those conversations are going to come up because, I mean, this dude can flat out play. But that's not what leads to the hot topic. The hot topic is this. So the Indiana Pacers have a guard named TJ McConnell, who I happen to know a little bit from his Arizona days. And we were talking about this in the crowd when we were watching the game. You know, TJ got out there and he's just so TJ's crazy. He's so effective in games. And he doesn't look like he's going to come in and do what he does, but he just impacts the game in so many different ways to help Indiana win. And I was thinking about it. And JT, I know you probably remember these teams. I'm not sure how well you remember these teams, Neil, but the teams that TJ McConnell played on at Arizona, coached by Sean Miller, were loaded. Loaded. Think about this. Stanley Johnson, who got drafted.
Yeah.
Monday Hollis. Jefferson
was on that roster. Yeah.
Caleb Trzinski. Gabe York.
Gabe York's a bucket.
Was a bucket. Now you saw him.
It is a bucket.
Nick Johnson. Aaron Gordon. Like, I can go on and on with all these players. And to think of all those players, one of the guys who's had longevity in the league is TJ McConnell, a 6'1". He's barely a little bit taller than me. Little guard out of PA from Pennsylvania. Of course, you know, Aaron Gordon obviously is, you know, is doing well. But other than that, it's TJ.
Yeah. You think about
all those other really good players. Stanley's not in the league anymore.
No.
Ronnie Hollis Jefferson's not in the league anymore, is he?
Nope.
No, I don't think so.
Gabe York's in the G League.
Yep.
And Brian Anderson's not in the league.
And Big Caleb never made it to the league. He was 7 feet tall. He was dominant in college. Yep. Like, so you look at those guys and you go, wait a minute, this 6'1", I don't know what he weighs, 190 maybe. You look at him, it's like, how? So that leads me to say, you never know where a player is going to end up. So if you're looking at this Bearcat roster right now, and I want to start with you, JT, who on this roster would you say might be that guy that could end up in the NBA, having an impact, and being there for a while? Maybe it's an obvious one. Maybe it's somebody that, you know, you wouldn't think of. Because, listen, when TJ was in college, no one was thinking that was the NBA guy.
So you're saying, like, the guy that you don't think is the NBA guy that will be, that has a chance to be, more so?
Yeah.
Is that what we're going with it?
And it could be a two-part. It could be that, or it could be, you know, if there's a guy you think, or a lot of people think, have the potential to be an NBA player that you think will have a successful NBA career.
Okay.
On this roster.
Oh no, it's kind of all right. So, all right. So I'm gonna answer it twofold. Like, when you see the players play, I say it's a coin flip, like with Jizzle and Dan, because they're athletic talents, and you could tell they're gonna just keep getting better and better. Dan, because you can see him being a 3-and-D guy. Pause. And with his size and how he rebounds and he'll be able to get to the basket. Jizzle, he just is fearless. He's going to nothing but get better. Hopefully he stays at least one more. Give us one more year. I think he's going to get nothing but better. He's a bucket. He's a baller. And then I'll say the person maybe that, like, you might not expect. All right, I would say, like, other people on this team that you might not expect. I don't know, maybe people, I don't know. To me, the person that's sneaky that I think could possibly get some NBA run would be John Newman.
I like that one.
So, like, reason why I say it's a sneaky one, because, like, he's a little bit older, and, you know, you get penalized for being older nowadays, but it's starting to balance itself out, because you're seeing people that are, like, being effective that have been in college for, you know, a little bit, and that kind of, you know, help stuff out. So, but he plays defense so well, and, you know, if you can guard a guard up to damn near a power forward, I mean, you're super valuable. So, like, I think he would have a chance to maybe be that guy. Everybody needs a defensive person that doesn't care, and he's gonna play defense. And then he can't, he's capable on offense and gets better. So like, he's a hard worker. It could happen. Like, I see, like, he could be one of those guys that be like, man, he might get a little shot somewhere and people will be shocked. But I just think the way he plays, his attitude, he might be a person that can carve out some NBA time out of nowhere where people kind of like writing them off a little bit on that. So he'll be the guy that'd be like, if you didn't expect it, I guess if you asked 100 Bearcats fans, who are your blue chip ones, I don't think they would have John Newman up there. But I think he's the guy that can possibly have his name on the back of an NBA jersey.
I like that, JT, and I like how you broke that down. Neil, yeah. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I would have to go with the same two as JT said. Obviously, Dan Skillings is one that jumps off the page right away when you think of that kind of potential NBA potential, just because, one, he is so new to the basketball world. He's only been playing for, 4 years now, roughly? He started his in between sophomore and junior season. So he's only been playing the game for 4 years and he's continuing to grow each and every day. And one thing you can't teach is athleticism. And Dan Skillings certainly checks all the boxes there. 6'7". I mean, he rebounds like he's 6'10". So you add that to the to the stats. Overall, his offensive game is still developing. And we've seen that this season, but if he's able to develop that offensive game here in the next year, it could be that time where Dan Skillings makes that sophomore to junior jump and could be that guy at the NBA. But Chisel James, you got to put into that category as well. I mean, heck, he was a top 50 prospect or top 100 prospect, I believe, in last year's class. But some of the plays he's been making this season, I mean, heck, look at the last two games. The acrobatic reverse layups, like there was one that went up and above the top of the backboard. And you stood and it was through triple coverage and you look and you're like, he just did that at 18, a freshman, and just the way he plays the game, he's so silky smooth with the ball in his hands. I mean, he can facilitate, he can score. There's still a lot of things that Chisel James is able to do on the court. I mean, defensively, he's still working on some things, but there is high potential for him to be one of those lockdown, gritty defensive point guards who is able to go out there and score, kind of in a similar role of what a Houston's Jamal Shedd is, if you ask me. Kind of could do the similar things if he stays in college for a little bit and watch that game grow. But Jizzle James, Dan Skillings are two I definitely jump off the page that draw that NBA potential. But you got to throw John Newman as well. I mean, look at what he's done to some of the best defenders or the best offensive scorers in all of college basketball. Wes Miller has even said it himself that there is not many players in all of college basketball that are a better on-ball defender than John Newman. And, I mean, he's shown that this season. So, obviously, you have to throw a guy like John Newman into that category as well.
The Twyman segment is sponsored by Visionary Cleaners. So, I like the John Newman one. I didn't have that on my bingo card, but I'm gonna add that one in there. I thought that was good, JT. The guy I'm going to throw out there that I think, obviously, he comes in with, high regards and a four-star and all that stuff. But I really think – at the end of the day, Ravon Griffith could be one of those guys, an NBA guy. For several reasons. Obviously, he's got, good size, 6'7", 205. Yeah. He's going to keep getting stronger. I really think this. I think the red shirt year is going to help him out tremendously. It really will. And I think we've got to make sure with our athletes these days, I think everyone wants to be thrown into a microwave instead of putting in that oven and let it slow bake and you get a better product that way. Yeah. Because here's my thing. If I'm a Ravon, a Dan, a Jizzle, and I have NBA potential, I look at it as I don't want to just go to the NBA. I want longevity in the NBA, yeah. Right? Yep. You want to make it to – think about this. So I'm at that Pacers game. So James White, shout out James White, a former Bearcat, is on the Timberwolves staff. And he was kind enough to let me catch up with him last night after the game and introduce me to some of the guys. I met Michael Conley last night. Super cool dude.
Nice. That's what's very up. I'm happy to hear that, man. I was hoping Mike Conley would be a cool dude. All right, go ahead.
Super quick, JT, like Nah, like straight eye contact, dap you up, like, man, nice to meet you. Like telling me that, I'm like, what are you? I don't mean nothing to like, but you know, what I'm saying? high character dude. So think about Michael Conley. Michael Conley, I don't know how long he's been in the league, but at one point, do you know who the highest paid player in the NBA was?
Mike Conley.
Mike Conley, and he had not made one single All-Star game, and he was the highest paid player in NBA. Think yeah. about it, right? But if you look at his skill set and his kind of plan for longevity within the league, and he's still playing and shit. I mean, think about this. The Timberwolves, they might be in first place.
Yeah.
Right? For sure. And he's a keep. Obviously, Anthony Edwards is the star. I know Karl-Anthony Towns is hurt right now. You got Rudy, but Michael Conley's kind of that thing that brings everything together, kind of like John Newman does. So yeah. I guess my point is, you look at a guy like Mike Conley, who I think left Ohio State seasoned.
I think he did one.
He only did 1 year, but
yeah, Michael only did 1 year.
I feel like he was a seasoned guy in terms of his maturity, like going to the league. Like, I think he had a good understanding of what his skill set was. And listen, if Rayvon or whoever comes to UC is there for a year and dips, there's no criticism to that. But I think we also have to say, hey, sometimes there are these athletes need a couple years, even though they come in as a 4-star. 5-star, whatever the case might be. Who cares if at the end of the day you play in the league for 16 years or something like that? Who cares how many years you were in college, right?
Yeah, for sure. And with NIL, at least you can gain, like, you don't have to work, you can get money without getting your hands spanked. So that helps. Like with me, I think it's just, why not work on your game? Because at the end of the day, if you're good enough, even if you're like fringe NBA, you can go overseas and kill it if need be. Yep. It's just, I would say, get that college experience, man, so you're not rushing yourself. College is probably a little bit different than high school, 100%, right? But at least you still can do young people stuff. You know what I mean? Like, you can go party, you can go do XYZ and just kick it. Once you get to the league, everything's serious. It's all business. It's purely your job.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's no, it can take the fun out of it. Some of it, you know what I mean? Sometimes, depending on if you don't have the right infrastructure or if it's too much pressure. If, you know, you got family members or that they're banking on you to change their lives, that can be a lot of pressure for an 18, 19-year-old, 20-year-old man. Shit, it could be pressure for a 30-year-old person. But at the same time, I think that it allows them to be young men and grow up and make mistakes. You know, I'd rather them make a mistake in college. As long as it's not a major mistake or minor mistake, you know, I'd rather it be a minor mistake. I don't want to be a crazy mistake where they're going to jail or anything, but they can make some mistakes that they can bounce back from in college. Sometimes if you're a pro and that microscope that's on you, you can't get it off you, no matter, you know, how cool people are in the media or not. You know, it's a story. They're going to run with it. And now you're on TMZ because of something. You know what I mean? You'd rather hear it might get swept under the rug a little bit. So, but you got to just learn from it and keep moving. So I don't know, man. It's a lot of things besides the basketball thing. And then you just get better, man. You're in a structure playing against top tier talent in the Big 12. You only get to sharpen your skills against the best basketball players in college. So I think it's wise to stay. You know, I think it's wise to stay Now, I've said, if you come up there and tear up the Big 12, all right, it might be time to go. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just tearing them up like that. You know, you first team all Big 12, second team all Big 12, and you're a freshman or sophomore, and it might be time to go. You know what I mean? Because you're playing against the best in the world as far as that's not professional. So, you know, that type of stuff. But if you're fringing it, you know, go ahead and keep that experience, man. Because a lot of people, you see people that make such big jumps because they stay in school. Just think about Dan last year, this year, even though he still makes mistakes, everybody makes mistakes, but he's making mistakes, you like scratch your head, but he's made a hell of a jump from freshman to sophomore year. And you can only imagine what a sophomore to junior year jump is going to be. And I think Jizzle, he's going to make a hell of a jump. I think Ray Vaughn's going to be like, I think he's going to hit the ground running now. I think like Farver, you know what I'm saying? I think he's going to make an immediate impact. I mean, I already thought his game was already on a college level before, but I just think him having a whole year weight system, just being nothing but basketball. I mean, school, of course, but I think he's going to hit the ground running. People are going to be impressed. I mean, people are like, why is he playing, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, I think this is going to be good for him because he got a whole year in the system. Man, I think he's going to just – people are probably going to be like, why didn't he play last year? Because I think he's going to play so good next year.
Yeah. Yep. I've thought about that too. I've thought about that.
Yeah.
But no, I think you're 100% correct. And like one thing you said on Dan, I think he's going to continue to improve. And you know, if I'm a guy like Dan, like why leave until, you know, I'd want to be drafted at a certain level.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, especially when you got that type of talent, like, so, you know, you look at Mike Conley. I keep saying I think he was seasoned because Mike's been taught to be a professional. I think his dad was like an Olympic gold medalist, track, right?
Yeah, track. I think he might have been like a track. Was he a track runner or something like that?
I thought he was a track runner.
Yeah, I think he was track or one of the Olympic sports. He was a gold medalist. So
yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, he's been shown how to be a professional. Right. So he goes to Ohio State and he's one and done. I know he was a first rounder, so he's got to be a top. I think he left the top five pick. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he was top five. I know he definitely didn't get out of top 10 for sure.
Got to be a top five pick that year because they were really good. He was kind of the best guard in the country or whatever. But, you know, I wouldn't leave until with a guy like that type of talent, I wouldn't leave. It's like you said, you made a great point with NIL. Now you got the money. So yep. If it's good, you know, you got the money. Keep working on your skill until you're one of those top guys. But
yeah,
I know everybody fears injury. You hear that all the time. But
at least you're getting a little bit of money, a little coin now. Like, you know, depending on, you know, how your star grow, you know, getting a lot of coin. Because that's not to switch sports. But like if I'm a running back in college now, I'm not leaving if I'm getting NIL.
Oh man, those running backs. Yeah,
because running backs get marginalized so much in the NFL. I wouldn't leave. Yeah. I would take my COVID year if I had it. I'm playing college until they kick me out.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm milking that NIL money. The running back market right now is so messed up.
The running back market. As soon as your first deal is up, they're not trying to pay you.
They're not trying. So
you might as well get your money coming before you get to the league. And then save all that rookie deal because they might tag you if you're special. They might tag you.
Yeah.
And they might give you a second deal where you get 2 years. And after that, they're going to start paying you pennies and start marginalizing you. So, like, say that on the basketball side, if I'm not ready, I feel like, you know, like, say if Dan went, I think he would still get drafted probably or be, you know, what's the thing where you get the two-way deal?
Way deal.
But then he stay. I mean, staying, I think, just solidifies him being a 6 to 8 year leaguer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely. So we will see. I think somebody out of this group is going to be that guy, man, that makes it to the league and is there for a while. Let's hope we have multiple guys that
man start being at factory again, like how it was in the 90s and early 2000s, where it just was, you knew somebody was going. Like that'd be where we need. If we get to that point, you know, I feel like we'll be winning a lot in March.
Man, that's crazy you say that, because when I was at that Pacers game and I was down after the game and I was talking to a couple folks, and I think they were like parents of some of the NBA guys, TJ Warren, his dad, couple of guys, we were just talking around and we were talking about the Bearcat teams, and they were like, well, you know, who'd you play with? And you know, you tell them, and you just, man, you all had some beasts back then.
Yep.
You know what, and it always hits me, like, they're not even from our area, even close to it, and from a different part of the country, man, the respect they have for Bearcat basketball and just the from Kenyon to Ruben to Mel.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And if you really know your hoops, Pete Michael was an overseas legend.
Yep. Pete Michael.
Right?
Yep.
Low. Yeah, I mean,
Winfield.
Oh, man. Don. Winfield. DJ with Slim.
Yep.
Danny Fortson, like Van Exel, like on and on. Just that swag and just, you know, the respect for Bearcat basketball. So like you said, JT, man, getting that factory back.
Yep. Or we just spitting them out, pause. like Duke and UK and them, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like, and UC was at that point where you knew one person was going off the team every year.
Yeah. No question.
You know what I mean? And then if depending on what the year was, if they're ready, it's two coming, maybe three. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was just like that. You know what I'm saying? That's just how, like, the Dukes and the, you know, UNCs have it and UKs. But, I mean, UC was right there. So I think now, you know, now we got to get – I think they're starting to get the talent to that could be that. And I feel like it can happen. I think it can happen soon. So hopefully it does, man. I think that's just going to help, you know, the current staff recruit even more. Because once you do it, once you prove you can do it,
yep,
it makes it even easier, man. It's kind of – it's hard right now. Like, it's almost like, you know, just saying doing a site is, you know, we got to proven – I know we know we're doing it. You know we're doing it. But it's just like being able to have somebody confirm it, like,
right here.
You know what I'm saying? That's what's going to happen. And when it does – if he's recruiting this good before that happens, and it when it happens, it's gonna get crazy.
I agree. The Twyman segment was sponsored by Visionary Cleaners. Visionary Cleaners is a locally owned company by former Bearcat student athletes. They specialize in high quality commercial cleaning of businesses, apartment, and pre and post construction cleans. They can be reached at 513-388-7816 or contact online visionarycleaners.com. Fellas, this concludes another great podcast. Thanks to all of our sponsors, Donahue Accounting Services, Smart Dog Solutions, Greg Hood and the Beachmont Toyota, and Visionary Cleaners. You're listening to the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast presented by Donahue Accounting Services. For friendly expert tax advice whenever you need it, come to Donahue Accounting Services. A leading accounting firm in Cincinnati, Ohio, our top-notch accountants strive to help you resolve all your financial and tax issues. Call Donahue Accounting Services today for a free consultation at 513-528-3982 or visit online DonahueAccountingService.com. This concludes another episode of the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast. We want to thank all the Bearcat fans out there for listening and your support. Go Bearcats!